I assume a lot of you know who Robert Fulghum is. And I want to read this reading from his out of his book, Maybe, Maybe Not. It's a little long, but it's fun. And well, there's a lot of aspects to it. But for all of you who have served on boards, served on committees and churches, this is your time to laugh. When I think of staff meetings, board meetings, or time served on almost any committee, I think of the one man who triumphed over meeting madness. The man whose style I sometimes wish I had. Now, Robert's a Unitarian Universalist minister. I should have put that out there. David Dugan was his name. Though he had a college degree in civil engineering, and though he read history for pleasure, he enjoyed the pose of the simple-minded common man. Popeye was his model. While in college, he had started at right defensive tackle on the football team for 4 years. After college, he made his living as a heavy construction contractor, specializing in sewer systems and pipelines. He ran his life and business the way he played football, straight ahead, up the middle, full power, nothing fancy. Plain spoken in his conversation, he used one adjective, some bitch. After you got used to it, you didn't notice when he spoke of his some bit wife, and some bit kids, some bit friends. And more than that, when he spoke of some bit government, some bit Russians, he varied the tone a little, but it was always some bitch to him. I met him at a poker game. I liked him right away. He came to church the next Sunday saying he never heard a some bitch poker player preach. He stayed on to become an active member of the church. We found him kind and generous behind his facade. His laughter kept us loose in tense moments, and his resources kept us in business when we needed help. Dugan's way was large, and he didn't hold back when he came to do his part in the life of the church. If we had some trash to haul, he'd drive up in a 4-ton dump truck. He sent a road grader to move some gravel around and to fetch a Christmas tree. He sent a diesel truck hitched to a lowboy trailer, the kind used to transport bulldozers. For Dugan, there was very few of life's problems that could not be addressed with heavy equipment and a go-get-em attitude. Dugan lured me into his construction site one fall with the promise of being allowed to drive a D8 Caterpillar tractor. Sitting in his office trailer drinking coffee, he astonished me by throwing open his briefcase to reveal bundles and bundles of $100 bills and a .38 caliber pistol. It was like being in a movie when the bank robbers were about to split. The loot, not the worry. He explained that because his projects were often far from town, he had to hire a lot of temporary labor. He made his payroll in cash. He was bonded to carry as much as $500,000 and licensed to carry the gun to protect himself. Because he was often away for long stretches of time, Dugan refused an invitation to serve as an officer of the Board of Trustees. But when he was in town, he came to board meetings anyhow. He thought he ought to contribute to the life of the church beyond just sitting in a pew. And he wanted to know what was going on from the source, not the newsletter. As is often the case, members of the Board of Trustees sounds like an important honor, when in fact, the work of a board is more often mundane than not. During the year when Dugan attended meetings, the board's entire time and energy was devoted to a leaking roof, parking problems, and the difficulty of getting wholesale prices for paper towels and toilet paper. Dugan never said a word. He listened with chagrin written on his face. One January evening, the board shifted to an even more fascinating problem. On the entrance side of the church, the driveway had developed potholes. Patching had not helped, so it seemed the driveway would have to be repaved. An expensive proposition. However, on the exit side, near the church school. The driveway was smooth, encouraging a level of speed thought dangerous to the children. Speed bumps would have to be built there and signs posted. More expense. 3 hours had drained away while every dimension of this driveway problem had been considered. No solution in sight. The meeting fumbled on. From his seat outside the board circle, Dugan raised his hand to make a personal proposal. Quote, "Leave the potholes on the entrance side and dig potholes on the exit side. Spray a little tar in them, call them speed holes." He could do it with a shovel and a couple of cans of hot tar in a couple of hours, all for free. Well, the board gnawed on the problem for another hour, worried about being sued and what the neighbors would think. In exasperation, Dugan stood up, placed his briefcase on the table, and asked forcefully, "What's this Sunbitch church worth? The whole Sunbitch thing, buildings, land, everything. Give me a round figure." They didn't know about the briefcase. The church treasurer replied, "Oh, maybe $300,000. This book is a little old." "Great," cried Dugan. "I'm going to buy the Sunbitch." And he opened his briefcase, laid his pistol aside, and began throwing out bundles of $100 bills until it reached the estimated price. Silence, stunned silence. "Give me the deed and it's done," said Dugan. "What are you going to do with it?" someone asked. "I'm going to get my crew and equipment over here, and we're going to level the sumbitch and haul it to the sumbitch dump before sundown. And I'll use the land for the cemetery you guys are headed towards in these meetings of the living dead. I'm going to put up a sumbitch monument to the unknown God." "What's the gun for, Dugan?" an anxious member asked. "I was thinking about putting every one last of you sumbitches out of your misery. Too bad it's against the law." Then he chewed the board members up one side down the other for not spending their time on the important things, and how he came to church for religion, and what he got was pissant construction workers he didn't hire for a day. And by God, if they decided they wanted to get serious about all the things the church ought to be doing in this world, to by God, son of a bitch, let him know. Packing up his money and his gun, he stumped off the door, shouting from down the hall, "The Sumbitch offer still stands." What Dugan said and did, had a familiar ring to it. For all those of you who have the noble work of the world to do, the question is essentially the same, yes? Fish or cut bait, dream or do. Dugan's acts are nothing new in religious circles. The prophet Jeremiah didn't use quite those same words, but his sumbitch message was about the same. "Woe unto you, you sumbitches. Shape up or die, get serious or get out of the way." No, we didn't dig the speed holes. Just too simple a solution. But there were more than a few times that the board members thought they made a great mistake. They should have sold the sumbitch. Okay, now I'm in trouble for... Anyway, Sermon on the Mount. I owe it to you to tell you where that came from. Second church I served, it was Gertrude Entman. She was the matriarch of the church. And she came up and said, "Well, young man, what are you going to say in your Sermon on the Mount?" And I've kept it ever since, you know. However, the sermon won't be long. I'm going to be merciful. And I will not mention any amount of money. And that's what I was taught. At the same church, we thought we would shake it up, the pledging. And so... the UUA has a lot of resources, and we put them together and looked at them. And the main idea we got out of that was, if the leadership doesn't show that they're behind the canvas, then good luck. Well, that was all fine and good. Well, what happened was, so we decided that the top 20 people in the church should be pledged by Don, the minister. And so there was a lot of fun with that. And I would often walk in their home and say, I'm the reason why we're here. I am the budget, I'm most of it. Here, that's not the case. Okay, as a congregation, may I caution that we learn from our past, but not allow it to hold us back. And that's a challenge in churches. Learn from your mistakes. Wait. Learn from our mistakes, but don't let us hold us back. And this is why. We have a big opportunity before us. If we truly integrate young and old, old timers and newcomers, and be honest with each other about what we want and need from the church, creating ministries or programs, if you prefer that word, that fulfills those wants and needs, then we are on the verge of doing something very special. And I say that in all seriousness. I've been around the block in this business. We heard earlier from Elizabeth and Adam, their ideas to help grow the congregation were presented to the board last month. I believe their strategies will make a big difference, and we'll hear more about this down the line. Another proposal was made that night. I propose that we hire Monica Faith Stewart, who's sitting with us today, as our new membership and outreach coordinator. Reverend Monica's connections in the Hyde Park community, I believe, will help us grow. Please know, however, that this idea is at the beginning stages of development. We are a proud congregation with a proud past. People will hunger for what we offer, particularly after the COVID isolation that we've all experienced. They will hunger for a place of doing justice in the public square, a place welcoming people to explore a vast diversity of ethical and spiritual paths, proving that diversity need not mean divisiveness, to quote William Schultz. And a place of genuine community as a sanctuary from that painful and stressful world outside our doors. To rebuild ourselves to full capacity, three things are crucial: attitude, belief, and preparation. This will be more work than we want to do, more money than we want to spend, but the promise of what good we can do is a dream come true. The only thing that stands in our way is ourselves. With mercy, here ends the Sermon on the Mount. Our benediction is from Theodore Parker, a 19th century Unitarian preacher who would preach 3 or 4 hours and people would listen. Can you imagine that? He also kept a pistol in his desk because he was on the Underground Railroad. He held up a federal marshal and took the fugitive slave away from the marshal. Anyway, this is a lighter side of Theodore Parker. Be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space, its shrine, the good heart, its creed, all truth, its ritual, works of love, its profession of faith, divine living.